Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds. Last week on IDN, William Ury, author of several best-selling negotiation books, explained how he came to the field of negotiation and how he sees mediation emerging as a global profession, as well as the important role that negotiation will play for the future of humanity. This week, William returns to discuss some practical steps for someone in a particularly difficult negotiation. In Getting to Yes, co-authors Ury and Roger Fisher explain that negotiating parties should always be mindful to their true interests and keep an eye on what they dub their BATNA, or Best Alternative to a Negotiated Agreement, BATNA. The idea of BATNA was once expressed to me rather simply by a senior lawyer in my company who said, "Is the deal I can get today better than what we'll get after years of litigation?" In this episode of IDN, William explains the five basic principles he devised for negotiating with difficult people, and which he set out in his book, Getting Past No.
Basically, after working on Getting Yes with Roger Fisher, perhaps the most common question I got was, okay, what if the other side doesn't want to get to yes? What if they don't want to cooperate? Right. What if they don't want to play by your rules? How do you...
Which is pretty common, actually. Right, exactly. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in a conflict.
That's right. Yeah. And so in other words, how do you get past no?
Right. Right.
And so that's how I, by looking and observing and also practicing these, you know, difficult negotiation in difficult situations with difficult people or just in difficult circumstances, right. How do you achieve breakthroughs? How do you turn breakdowns in negotiation right. into breakthroughs?
And you can end up with what are the five impediments?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
are the key things that you're
yeah,
going to
find? The first impediment, actually, interestingly enough, that I came up with that I noticed was, not interestingly, most people, we think the difficulty is the other person. But the first impediment is actually ourselves. It's our own human, all too human tendency to react, which is to act without thinking.
Right.
And, you know, as Ambrose Bierce put it, you know, when angry, you will make the best speech you will ever regret. And I find that...
That's a wonderful.
I find that very common in negotiations. And so the very first... The foundation of successful negotiation is the ability to do what I call go to the balcony,
right.
which is
because
the ability to take a step back, get some perspective, get calm, remember what your interests are, remember what your BATNA is, and because that's the key.
Right.
And then the second biggest obstacle.
Which, by the way, you point out, is it's not just at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like you say you go to the balcony several times, all throughout.
Yeah,
you
all throughout.
Just keep your emotions
you have to negotiate
in check.
From the balcony.
Right.
You've got to just stay focused on
what
are your interests.
Achieve?
What do you want to achieve in that negotiation? Because it's so often in negotiation that our attention gets distracted. We get locked into our position. We get distracted by our fear, by our anger, by trying to score points, by trying to do better than the other side, rather than focusing on what am I trying to achieve in this situation.
Right.
So that's the foundation. And then the second obstacle, once you can get past that obstacle, it's almost like hurdles. Is the other side's emotions and the fact that they may not trust you, they may not want to cooperate. They're not cooperating with you because they don't feel like it. And so you've got to find a way to create an atmosphere in which the other side wants to talk. And the key for doing that, I call stepping to the other person's side, which is not in any way giving in to them, but it's simply listening to them, showing them respect, using psychological methods.
Or psychological techniques. The way you say it, there's actually a point in the book where I remember in Getting Past No, which you say is do the opposite of what they expect.
Right.
You know, they expect you to be an adversary. Right. Don't act like an adversary.
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
That's right. Use the power of surprise.
Yeah.
Because the power of surprise is one of your greatest tools.
Which is also to de-escalate. You got somebody who is maybe using nasty tactics
that's
against
it.
You. They're you know, and they expect you to reply in kind, and you don't.
Right. That's it.
What are they going to do?
That's it. That's it. That's exactly it. And that's how you kind of create an opening then.
Right.
Which then brings you to the third obstacle, which is, you know, very rigid positions, which is they, you know, the only game they know how to play when things get tough is they lock into their positions and they don't budge. And the question is, how do you change the game? And the way you change the game is you change the frame. You change the way you look at the situation, where the spotlight is. Either it's on positions or it's on the underlying interests.
Right.
And so you find ways to move the spotlight to the underlying interests, usually by asking good questions. You know, by, you know, I understand that's your position. Help me understand why you need that.
Right.
You know, the magic why question.
And what are we trying to accomplish?
What are we trying to accomplish? Yeah, and so suddenly you move the spotlight to, okay, what do we want out of this? And that often opens up, you know, the possibility of focusing on interest, looking for creative solutions, looking for what's fair in that situation. And so that to me is the kind of the third turning point of a difficult negotiation. Once you've done that, you may not be home yet, because even if you've got you're not focused on positions anymore, they may still say no because they don't see what's in it for them.
Right.
How is this going to help them? You know, there isn't enough for them. And so you need to figure that out. And I call that building the other side of Golden Bridge.
Which I think you said comes from a Chinese expression.
Right. It comes from Sun Tzu, who talked about building your adversary a golden bridge to retreat across. In negotiation, I would reframe that as building them a golden bridge to advance across to a solution that works for both sides. How you do that is critical. But it's the key thing is, how do I make it easier for the other side to make the decision I would like
to close the gap between where they are and where I want to be.
That's it.
So they get there on their own without me trying to control them.
That's it. There was actually an Italian diplomat who once defined diplomacy as the art of letting them have your way.
Yeah.
You know, that's the idea. And then once you get past that hurdle, there may yet be another one, which is they may still say no because they think they have more power than you. And why should they? Because they've got more power. They can force you to do what you want. And so there, to me, the key is the use of education.
Right.
Is use power to educate the other side that in fact, the only way they can resolve the situation is together with you at the negotiating table.
What do you mean? Because typically people use power
to escalation.
Right?
Exactly.
Typically people use power to escalate. You didn't give me what I wanted.
Exactly.
I'm bringing in other people.
Exactly.
I'm going to the judge or I'm going to...
We tend to escalate. And instead you educate. And what you do is you can ask, for example, asking reality testing questions like, have you thought about what's going to happen if we go to a judge, if we go to court? You know, it's not going to be good for us, but how good is it going to be for you? How much is it going to cost? Where are we going to end? You know, jury could go anyway or judge could go anyway. And you get them thinking about it and you educate them that, in fact, you know, their BATNA may not be as attractive as they might have thought it was. And or that your BATNA, it may be more attractive than they also thought it was. So you're educating them about BATNA. It's kind of BATNA education.
Right.
About their alternative, about the alternatives.
But this is similar to reframing in a sense, right?
Yeah.
You're just using power. Reframing the power is what you're doing. Right.
Instead of reframing is letting the problem be their teacher. Here you're letting reality be their teacher, rather than teaching them, because you're not the teacher, but you're asking questions to let them look at reality. I think it was Samuel Johnson, who the British English essayist, who once said, "Nothing concentrates a man's mind so wonderfully as the prospect of a hanging." And sometimes in the negotiation, you know, you go over that, you look over that cliff, you know, there's a hanging for both of you there. Well, okay, well, maybe there is a solution actually that's better for us than falling off the cliff.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast or the issues discussed can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.